Let's talk about a question I thought of many years ago. Two questions are very famous questions. They're asked by many commentaries. I didn't see the question inside myself when I first did them. Yeah, I know you usually judge. I'm sorry, I missed it. The intro. Being a parson just brought to Barak Chavalov. The discussion is of an Eved, or an Eved Ivri, as we call him. You look at the Emes Yaakov discussion. Jeff will tell you why he's called an Ivri. Tell him, Jeff, later on. Play your cards right. The pasuk in the Chumash describes a person who chooses, after being an Eved Ivri for 6 years, sold for 6 years, he chooses to stay on longer. And we're told that if he wants to stay on longer as a slave, he has a strange practice, and they pierce the ear of the Eved Avdoli Olam. The Rashi quotes the Medrash, the famous discussion, and many people ask this question as well. I'm about to ask you, but I saw this year a new question I never saw before in Rav Schwab, which I'll share with you as well. We're going to ask three questions on this Rashi. Says Rashi. Umara, we're going to have Pasuk Vav. The Ramaskil in Rashi, Vratza Adonav Es Aznova Marzea. Umara, Ozen Leir Atzea, Mikol Shar Ivar Shvaguf. For what reason did the ear become pierced more than any other part of the body, any limb of the body? Why the ear dafka? Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, Ozen Zosha, Shamav Ar Sinai, Lo Signo, Valach Veganov, Tirza. The same ear that heard in Ar Sinai, thou shalt not steal, and went and stole, didn't listen, pierced that ear. It's the ear's fault. It should have heard it, it didn't listen, it pierced the ear. And how about that's the case when the guy stole? What if the guy was too poor, he sold himself because he was so poor? V'imocher atmo, what if we go to that case where you say that he didn't steal anything? So again, Ozen Shama Har Sinai, Kili Bnei Yisrael Avadim, that Bnei Yisrael are mine, I'm the God of Bnei Yisrael, and they should make me the Adon. And he went and Kana Adon La'atmo, he went and listened and required himself another master, again, pierces here. That's the Rashi quotes over here, whether you sold yourself, whether you were sold because you stole. There are people who ask the kasha that the Gemara Kiddushin brings down, the people who sell themselves, I don't think you can become a near soul, only if you stole. Either way, the Gemara over here points out, the Medrash quoted by Rashi over here, is that the reason why the ear is pierced is because the ear did not listen properly at Har Sinai. I'm going to ask you three questions. Question number one is, we should really pierce your ear then for everything you break at Har Sinai. If you ever are not mechabed your parents, pierce the guy's ear. If he doesn't keep Shabbos, pierce his ear. The same ear that heard at Har Sinai, and didn't honor his parents, so he pierces his ear also. Why is only mitzvah here? Why should any mitzvah? Any mitzvah that was spoken, that was said over, should result in the ear pierce. Question number one. Question number two. Why would pierce his ear right away? Why wait after 6 years when he's done? I should pierce his ear the moment he does the sin. The same ear that hurt on a Sinai, you shouldn't steal. When you steal, come to my office, I pierce your ear, now I become an Eved for 6 years. Why do I wait 6 years before I pierce your ear? If the reason was that your ear hurt something and didn't listen, then the moment it didn't listen, when it pierced the ear, when you stole from the guy, right away you should have your ear pierced. It should be right away. Not after 6 years. I'll tell you a third question I saw today, the first time in Rosh, not today, but yesterday, Sefer Rosh Schwab on the Parsha, a very interesting question. And so I'm going to give you my answer first, which is going to raise the first two questions, but his answer is going to address all three questions. But he asked, Akashi says, that Dafka sounds like the Ozen that heard at Har Sinai. We do say, Lo Signov. We do say that at Har Sinai also. That was one of the Ten Commandments. It does not mean you can't steal your friend's money. What does it mean?
Can't kidnap.
That's not track for our discussion. Now, you want to tell me maybe it means that. It doesn't mean Har Sinai literally. It means like just total. You could say that. But the Lashon of the Pasuk is Har Sinai. That's the Lashon. That Har Sinai, you heard Lo Signov, it said, which means to kidnap, not to steal. So why is that even shy for me who stole to have my ear pierced right now? Lo Signov, again, does not mean don't steal. Equals kidnapping. And you have not, as far as we know, kidnapped. Kasha. Three questions. One more time to review them quickly. The Ozen Shama Har Sinai, it means any mitzvah you violate at the Ten Commandments, you should be out of your prayers right away. Right for your prayers period, number one. Number two, it should be done right away, not after 7 years. And number three, and we'll focus on one in a little bit, we'll not focus on the first part, but the second part we'll discuss this, is that most of the doesn't even mean that. It means to kidnap someone, not to steal from them. Okay, so a number of years ago, when I thought of this question, I think I was in Gris at the time actually, I thought of the following shot you could suggest to answer the first two questions. Third question I can put aside. I didn't think of the question, so I don't really know if I can, my answer will deal with that. It's not criminal. I mean, it is a crime, but you're not a criminal necessarily. You make a mistake. I do something wrong. I have a moment of passion. I haven't thought things through properly. And I err. That's part of being human. It is our job to try our hardest to not make mistakes like that. But it's normal and natural to be in the world and not think things through properly and end up erroring and making a mistake. That's part of life. Like Les Miserables, Jean Valjean was desperate and he stole all the bread. He needed it. He was in a state of need. He was desperate and he stole all the bread. Okay, we don't have to sing right now. We can sing later. We'll sing it later, you and I, over lunch if you want. But it wasn't, it was something that was just impulsive. You would not get your ear pierced for being impulsive. But imagine the following case. 6 years later, you've served your time. You're finished now, you had a crime, you paid for 6 years. You've had restrictions and obligations for 6 years. As a penalty for what you've done. And they say, time for you to go back now. You're like, you know what, frankly, I like it over here. I like my wife that they gave me. I like my kids that I've had with my new wife. It's not even wife, by the way. It's a shifkut kanan. It's not even your really wife. The kids are really the master's kids. They're not even yours. It's just, you completely lost perspective. You forgot this was a punishment. Do you realize you've done something wrong? You're supposed to, as we mentioned today in Rashi, where's your regret? Mischaret. I understand when you make a mistake, mistakes happen. But to look back 6 years later, and feel like you did nothing wrong, and you're very comfortable with what you've done and where you are right now, that's a grave error. Did your ear not hear Har Sinai? I understand your heart may have been impulsive, but do you have a problem with your ear? Did you not hear you're not supposed to do certain things? Didn't you hear that? You're supposed to be my servant, not anyone else's servant? I don't pierce right away because people make mistakes. That happens. But 6 years later, it's not a mistake anymore. Something is off about you. Something's wrong. You missed the point. How could you do something wrong and not realize and look in yourself and say, I am sorry, something wrong. I would like to be forgiven. Let me go out of my situation I'm stuck in right now. That's what you're supposed to be doing right now. And the fact that you don't do that is because you didn't listen. That answers question number one and question number two. It's not any mitzvah because impulsive things you do wrong, you hit your heart, we make a mistake. But to plan and to realize that you did something you don't care at all, that it was wrong and you're punished for it and you're happy about it and you're comfortable with where you are, that deserves an ear pierced. How could you be so shallow? How could you not realize that? And I'll give you maybe a support for this point. In the beginning of Parshas by Yishlach, we have a discussion, we have a big sale that Yaakov, I'm sorry, not Yishlach, told us. Being Parshas told us, we have a big sale when Yaakov sells the birthright to Esav. Esav comes in, he's famished. He's starving, he's so hungry. And Yaakov says to him, and he said, what are you cooking over there? Cooking a nice stew. I want it. So I'll trade you your birthright for it. Esav's famished, he's so hungry. Can you blame the guy for trading birthright for a bowl of lentils? I mean, yes, you could, but we also could understand where he's coming from. He's hungry. He can't eat a birthright. But says the Chumash afterwards, it says that he gave him the birthright. For Yaakov nasan leEsav lechem u'nezid adashim. Vayochal vayesh. Vayakam vayelach. Vayibes Esav zebechora. That he got, he ate and he drank, got up and left, and Esav was mevaza. He scorned the birthright. Now, if I had to ask you, at what point in time did Esav scorn the birthright, I would have said to you, logically speaking, when he shook on it, deal. I'll be glad to trade you my birthright for your lentil soup. Deal. Should say right there, Vayibes Esav zebechora. That's what it should say. But the Torah doesn't say that. You know why? Because it knows you're hungry. You made a mistake. You error. That's not a bizayon. It's a shogeg. You're an onus. You thought you were going to die from starvation. He said, Mesa no, okay, I'm going to die. Okay, I understand that. But then you ate. And then you finished drinking. Then you get up and you go. And you're not hungry anymore. You're 100% comfortable. You're fine. And you don't think twice of what you did. That's a busha. That's a bizayon. How in the world is that possible? You could experience that and not thought a second time about what you've done. That's where we would say, And that's the pshat over here as well, with our discussion of the ear pierce, perhaps. The Chafetz Chaim has a similar pshat as well. I want to just quickly, well, I'll skip this part here. We'll go a little bit, a little further. That's what I want to share with you, my own idea. That maybe the reason is that we go through life, we do so many things, we don't think about what we're doing after we did them. We're comfortable with our crimes. You make a mistake, it's fine. You can even learn from your mistakes. Shava yipo tzadik v'kam. You can make 7 mistakes and maybe you become a tzadik from them. You make a mistake though, and you don't think about what you've done at all. So then what lesson you learn? And you're just a bigger mistake than you were beforehand. And you're more likely to make another mistake in the end, later on as well. So it's not wrong to make a mistake, it's wrong to not realize you made a mistake and act on it. That's the answer to the first two questions. But Rav Schwab has a different shot, which I want to focus on in the last 5 minutes. And he has a wild chiddush, he suggests. And he says, the truth is, low signal about kidnapping, you get your ear pierced because you're kidnapped. You are. But we don't have that in the text, have we? Yeah, we get to know about it. It's not what it says over here. No, he says, you did kidnap. You know you kidnapped? Kidnap yourself. What does it mean to kidnap someone? It means to take someone from where they're supposed to be, out of their home or their family, and you take them and you put them somewhere else. That's what kidnapping usually means. You take them and you hide them and you grab them, you want money out of it, you want a baby, whatever it may be. You kidnap because you take someone where they're supposed to be, you bring them somewhere else. As Rav Schwab, the following chiddush. When you, after 6 years, decide you want to stay on longer, you're guilty of kidnapping. Your job right now is to be an Oved Hashem. You're back to being able to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu properly. You made a mistake. You paid for the crime. You've been there for 6 years. Go back now. And get your life back. No. I don't want my life back. I'm comfortable with being where I am today. But you're supposed to be today more free to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu, more free to do what you need to do, not be a slave of someone else. I don't want to. You're guilty of being a kidnapper of yourself. If you have an opportunity to do something and you don't do it every day, you've kidnapped yourself. Now, it's a spiritual kidnap. You're going even nefesh, not goof. You're going even nefesh. Imagine you can do something fantastic and you opt out of it. You choose not to do it. You've just kidnapped yourself. Rav Soloveitchik brings down that that we say in the Ilah, at the end of davening, we don't say the vidui in the end. The last part we do is not vidui. We skip the vidui. We don't do the al-chaitz in the end. Instead, the last paragraph in the Ilah discusses about oshek yadeinu, which means theft. Why in the world are we talking about theft? Most of us aren't thieves. Most of us don't steal. Why is it we end off in the Ilah davening? We end off discussing theft. That's not shaykh to us. Why are we doing that? So Eich explains, because Baruch Hu gave you a body. He gave you eyes, and he gave you a mouth, and he gave you hands, and he gave you an ear, and he gave you each of these things for a reason. And the moment you take what he gave you and use it for reasons he did not give it to you for, you are over the isser of theft. We hit in our hearts, we think of an eel every year of theft of our eyes, because I looked at something I shouldn't have looked at. And my mouth, I said things I should never have said. And I have to ask God's bracha forgiveness, I am a thief. You gave me a mouth and I used it for ways you told me not to use it for. You gave it to me on condition to be great. And I made myself into a bum with it. And I owe you an apology because I stole your mouth that you gave me. I stole your eyes that you gave me. I remember one time when I was younger, I was borrowing one of my Rebbe's cars. And I had Joseph for it, and he gave me his car. Maybe it wasn't legal, so I don't tell whoever it was. I'm not going to mention the name. I was driving his car. I turned the music on the radio. I listened to a song. I was listening to it. And I paused. I started off. I said, what am I doing here? My Rebbe wouldn't want me to listen to this in his car. He gave me the car. He wouldn't want me to listen to this in his car. So I shut up right away. I'm not a tzaddik. But I realized, my Rebbe did me a favor. I should now use his car what he wouldn't want me to use it for. Chas v'shalom. Could never do that reason. Because bro gave you eyes. Why give you eyes? So you can look at your at someone and help them out when they need help. You can open up a page of Gemara and learn it. You close God's bracha that way. You can see someone in distress and be a big tzaddik and do matoba. Why do you give you ears? So you can maybe you can hear someone call out for help and run and help them out. So you can hear words of Torah, not hear words of Lashon Hara. Everything he gave you was for a valid, proper reason. The moment you violate it, you are mamish a kidnapper. You're over the issur of kidnapping yourself. You took your body God gave you, and the neshama was supposed to be a certain reason, and you opted out. You don't have the luxury to opt out. You can't choose what you want to do with your eyes. God gave it to you, and he told you, I want to do this with your eyes. You don't have a choice with them. Unless you want to be over this or kidnapping. You kidnapped your eyes. You kidnapped your ears. You kidnapped your neshama. Says Rav Schwab, the reason why it's brought down is because you are a kidnapper of yourself. is not something that's foreign. But everything that we do in our lives, it has an effect on our bodies and on ourselves. It's brought down in this week's parsha as well. There's a mitzvah brought down, and it's a very strange mitzvah. There's an isser of tzar bali chaim. It's an isser d'oraisa to let your animals suffer. Tzar bali chaim. There's a mitzvah in the Torah. This is parsha that breaks that isser. You know what mitzvah is? Where do we find it? That isser broken? This is part of it. It's how you break that law.
You stone
animals?
Nope. Throw the thing down the bath?
Nope. That's for a reason. If you understand, Lisa, listen to the mitzvah. The mitzvah is, if you have two animals in front of you, you have your friend.
Shechita?
Not shechita. You have your friend's animal, which needs to be unloaded, and your enemy's animal, which needs to be loaded. What would you think should come first? The unloading or the loading? The unloading. There's an animal right now with heavy things on its back. There's a mitzvah to unload an animal. And yet we're told, and what we do instead, you're told to load your enemy's animal first. Why? Says the Rashi there, and it's brought down the Ramban as well. The Ramban brings down the Torah. Says the Ramban al Torah. The reason why, it says over here, and it says also in Devarim where you come up, we do this in order so that you will feel stronger about the person after you finish. If I do you a favor, I don't like you, you don't like me, I do you Tova, thank you, I appreciate it, very nice to you, thank you, no problem, anytime. And now we have a connection to each other. It's a mitzvah. Every action that we do with our bodies, it has an effect on us. If I don't like you, I do you a tova, you feel more comfortable with me and I feel more comfortable with you. We go over Isra D'oraisa of Tzar Bali Chaim to increase knowing our body, what we do has an effect on us. If I treat my body wrong, I can't have my body. Not only today I can't have my body, not only just now I can't have my body. But the next stage also I can't have my body. You know why? Says the Gemara in Yuma, if you do an Isra and you repeat the Isra, it's not mutter for you. Says the Gemara, mutter? Not mutter. It's like it's mutter in your own mind. Because the moment you do something, and then you do it again, you get used to doing it, it's not even usher for you anymore. It's second nature now for you. Every action that we do has ramifications right now for the mistake I made. My eyes, I looked at something I shouldn't have looked at. I'm a kidnapper. I kidnapped my eyes. I stole from God. I owe you kafel in return. I owe you double. I stole from you. Besides that though, my next step with my eyes is now weaker. I'm going to have an easier time and force to make the same mistake again. The Sefer HaChinuch brings this shot down. By the way, this is a fascinating idea when it comes to Pinchas. We know Pinchas, when he was this Kanai, this zealot, he stabbed, he killed, he had this very violent action that he killed Cosby and Zimri in the middle of everyone. So Hashem, how does Hashem reward him? What does he give him in return? Ironically enough, he gives him in return a bris shalom. Covenant of peace. Peace! The man was a warrior. Give him a, I don't know, a purple heart maybe, or some sort of a show of bravery. But he davka wasn't peaceful. So the answer is you're right, because Baruch Hu knew he wasn't peaceful. He did a mice that was anti-peaceful, and right now the result should be he should be more bloodthirsty. The reaction of your action is now it should be even more likely to spill blood. Because that's what he did. Your action affects you forever. But first of all, I don't want that to happen to you. You know what I'm gonna do for you? Bris shalom. Peace, can you peace? It should counteract the action you did. You shouldn't have negative ramifications based on what you did. You shouldn't have any. Because by definition, when you are a warrior, you do have negative ramifications. That's why the whole halacha of Eishes Yifas Torah, because a warrior is an animal. So I don't want you to, because how can I be an animal? You just kill people's lives. You kill people. Bris shalom is to counteract that. But every action that we do has an effect on our, not only right now, but in the future. And this is the idea brought down also in the Sefer HaChinuch by breaking the bone of Korban Pesach. He says, why do we have so many mitzvahs about Korban Pesach? He says, why do we have so many of them? So he says that the way that we behave, our actions, our hearts are pulled along. And therefore, the moment you choose, you decide to be this heaven, this person who doesn't care at all, I'm happy with where I am, I'm okay. That means you're kidnapping your body from using what it's supposed to be doing for Kadosh Baruch Hu. Your eyes and your ears and your hands and everything you've been kidnapping for Kadosh Baruch Hu. You get this in mind, you'd be like, listen, it's one thing not to use my eyes for Torah, but to do what you did with those eyes, you're a ganav. You kidnapped my neshama I gave you. It's one thing to speak, you know, not say anything at all, not say words of praise and thank you and please, etc. But to say words of lashon hara, to talk during davening, you're a ganav. I didn't give you that reason. To say much like you about the car, which I don't know what you would do if you were me, I'm not a tzaddik, but I thought it was right to do. Rabbi gave me a car, I wouldn't listen to the music in his car like that. So I didn't. Kadosh Baruch Hu gives you a car, it's called your body. That's your vehicle. He gives you a vehicle, he gives you a kli. He wants you to do certain things with it. How can we sit in every single day take those things and use them for granted. So I want to end off with this constant idea of appreciating the fact that everything that we do, it affects us. There are people who are very involved in the internet, and they make these avatars for themselves. They make these pretend beings. They can be anything they want. They can be imagined whatever they want to be. They make up their own profile on the computer. There are people, it's been documented, that didn't even realize that it wasn't them anymore. They thought they were their own avatar. People have killed because of their avatar was insulted by someone else. It's hard to tell what's real you and what's not you anymore. The moment you start to act in a certain way, it has a role. You think that you're this guy on the computer. You think it's you. You can't figure out where you stop and that guy starts, because everything we do in our life plays a role and affects us. There is not anything that you will see that will not affect you in your life. With your eyes, with your ears, every single thing. If we take Rav Shraw's point, I think now we understand a little why Nasa Nishma is so important. I'll end with this. We take this because of Nasa Nishma. Nasa Nishma, everyone asks, what's the chiddush? Why we say Nasa Nishma? The answer is as follows. You and I are here for the year in Israel. We're more than halfway done, I think, even. We're close to. About halfway done. We're here in Israel, and we're all waiting for that time when I'm going to feel that excitement. When's that going to happen? So the Jewish people in the Midbar told you the secret is Naseh V'Nishma. Don't wait to feel it, to hear it, before you start acting. When you begin to behave in a certain way, it will be felt inside your body. The same way you act on the computer as your avatar, you think you are your avatar. The same way that with all these movies you have, the undercover cops, they end up becoming sketchy also and corrupt because they've been doing this too long. A person, when you behave in a certain way, it has a ramification, and it plays a role in your body. For 18 years, you've been doing lots of fun stuff. And most of us have been learning Gemara. Most of them. Most of us have been dominant with Kavanah. Most of them haven't been. So you wait, when am I going to feel excited to learn Gemara? I'm going to start learning then. Hate to break it to you, it's not going to happen. And you're going to leave here saying, it wasn't for me. It's not for everyone. It's not for me. It's not how it works in this world. It works as a Naseh V'Nishma. First, you do. First, you try. And when it's hard, you try harder. Because you know that you're driving a body that God gave you for a reason. And you don't have the right to use it otherwise. You don't have the right. You're not allowed to. We say every day for the Hila. Every year we do the Hila, we say you're not allowed to do it for the wrong reason. Which means Zohar to take a lesson, Rosh Hashanah is telling you over here, that the person who's staying as a longer slave, he did kidnap. He kidnapped himself. Chashal, we ever should be accused of the same thing with ourselves, and condemn ourselves, which we zocha, to take every last part of ourselves, this year and onwards, of a nasa, first doing the right thing. If we feel later on about the nishma, fantastic, and even not, if we don't, we know at least we go to Shemayim and realize we've never been over the Isser, we deserve an ear pierce for having been here to suffer ourselves. Amen.